Here we go. No music, no intro, no editing. It's just us and our emotions. Matt Gasteyer, this is a day. We were served a shit sandwich today. This is the end, yes. I don't know where, if this is one of those we'll remember where we were moments, but I was working and my wife sent me a text saying, RIP Filmstruck. And I was like, that's got to be a joke, right?
So, yeah, like somebody did a sick burn on Filmstruck.
Yeah, like a really, like an April Fool's joke. maybe like they had some mainstream film, yeah. Maybe they put out Princess Bride or something.
God forbid.
God forbid. A Bull's Room. So where were you when you heard the news?
I was sitting at my desk, like usual. Yeah, I think it was actually in Now. Somebody was the first person to post in any of the groups was in Now. And
That Variety,
this is what
article
I was afraid of for the last month after I read that article.
So let's rewind. The Warner service. So we talked about this in the group a few days ago. I think it was a few days earlier this week. So we learned that Warner or AT&T Warner, whatever, what are they calling themselves now? Besides the Death Star and
the devil,
evil incarnate. This is why they won't release the Devils, because they won't get out of their offices.
This is the remake of the Devils, and they don't want it to eat into their funds.
So Warner is going to launch a big streaming service. So, and of course, I think I'm a little more optimistic than you are. I was like, it'll work out. You were like, oh shit, this is bad.
That quote of him saying they were going to consolidate all of their streaming services. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait a second.
Right.
Filmstruck is one of their streaming services.
It's a big one, yeah.
And the fact that AT&T just bought them, it just didn't seem good. So I was worried. I was not expecting this to happen so quickly, for sure.
Very quick.
But I was worried that it would be folded into, that it would end when the new Warner streaming service at least was announced. Not necessarily when it started, mm-hmm. but when it was announced.
Yeah, and I saw the merit in that. I thought, well, and I think it was Hutchins pointed out that a lot of streaming titles are ending next year, I believe.
At the end of December. Yeah, they clearly only had the Warner license through the end of the year.
So I missed the date then. And then, so they just yanked the rug out, pulled the Band-Aid off. I don't know about you, but I do know about you. You have an active subscription. Do you have an annual subscription or?
I have subscribed since day one.
So you'll get a prorated refund as of November 29th.
Yeah, for 29th. Like 10 days, yeah.
Okay. So I actually did not re-up because I've been traveling so much, and I had a press account, and it expired, and I just haven't yet. So I just out of curiosity saw, can I sign up for the next month? And nope. So, So Filmstruck is officially dead for me.
Rough.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, what does this mean?
It means that AT&T is a pile of motherfuckers, and I fucking hate them, and I hope that they all crash and burn in this stupid fucking streaming service idea that they think that they can take over Netflix. It's too late, people.
Yes.
This is so stupid, and they are going to do this, and it's going to be cable all over again. If they win, it's cable all over again. If they don't, it's cable all over again. I'm sorry, everybody. Put your kids to bed before I say this.
I hope they're already in bed.
Yeah, they should already be in bed. We're all fucked here. This is cable. We are getting cable again on the internet, and that's all it's going to be. And once they have enough power,
HBO,
they're going to pull all of the Warner stuff from cable.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to milk the money. Cable is it's too much money,
mm-hmm.
For all of these companies. And now all of these other companies, Netflix, Disney, Warner's, they're all racing for this big pile of money. that is going away, and whoever gets there first, they think is going to rule the world or something, and they can buy their extra yacht or whatever.
Yeah.
We're all screwed. So get ready for $100 a month streaming service fee, and good night, everybody.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing about the media conglomeration is there's now all media is held by 3 to 4 companies. And if they all have their independent streaming services, and then there's Netflix, and I think Netflix will survive. Hulu is sort of lingering.
Hulu is invested with all these other companies. All these other companies are going to drop Hulu eventually. Absolutely. Hulu will go away. So these people who are pushing for Criterion to join Hulu, that is not a good idea. That's not going to happen.
And you had a good point. Cable might go away too.
Will eventually. I mean, that's definitely going to happen at some point. So, I mean, but at the same time, it's like they let Comcast buy Universal. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't AT&T be able to buy Warner Brothers? Once the first domino fell on this, it was all over. And I know you don't want to get too into like the businessy stuff about it.
I don't mind.
I mean, Netflix.
I think it's a terrible business decision. Actually,
Netflix is worth over half of what AT&T is worth. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. There's no reason for that to be true. AT&T is a.
You mean as far as like, market cap?
Yeah, market cap. Yeah. It's insane, and Netflix just has so much money to throw at this problem that nobody's going to be able to catch up. And the truth of the matter is, Netflix shouldn't have that much money. It's only because rich people have this weird, you know, underwear gnome like economic theory of like step one, we capture the over the top streaming service business, and then step three, we rule the world. Like it's
$10 the stock market economy works. Exactly. And so that leaves Netflix, that leaves Amazon. So I saw some speculation. Criterion is gone from streaming. So if you wanted to, and in fact, my wife had asked me a couple months ago, she said, hey, with all the streaming coming along, what do you think your collection is going to be worth in a couple years? Well, hey, this is actually, I mean, it's a sad day for streaming video. It's a pretty damn good day for physical media.
I agree with that. But at the same time, I worry that people are making too much of that because ultimately that horse has already left the barn.
Right. It's diminishing.
People who buy physical media, and people who don't. These people who were subscribing to Filmstruck are just going to watch TCM on cable, or they're going to move to Netflix or Amazon or whatever it is, or Fandor, you know, if it's the more artsy side.
The library.
Streaming Canopy. Media is great. Don't get rid of streaming media. I love streaming media. I buy it. The library is the fucking best. Everybody should use their library all the time, forever and ever. Mm-hmm. But this is mostly about the films that are not available on disc, and that there's not really the marketplace for them to be made available, or at the quality to be able to produce those discs so that they'll be sold. So it's streaming media. I mean, this doesn't affect physical media in any way, and I'm glad that people feel like, oh, now I have my discs and I can watch them, which is great, and that will always be true. But this is really about losing all of those other films.
Well, it's just unfortunate that, you know, somebody that's hasn't bought discs. I'll throw out James and from Wrong Reel. You know, he has a tiny New York apartment, so he can't buy 2,000 discs, even if he can afford it. Where do you put them? So he relies on Filmstruck. As far as the Criterion content goes, I think Criterion has a big enough brand that they will find a home somewhere. I doubt they had a lot of notice on this. I think this was just some really dumb corporate decision, and I think it's dumb. I think AT&T is kind of dumb, just, you know, getting into business. I think they've been terrible for their own brand. I switched cell phone providers from them 5-10 years ago. I just think that some corporate asshole decided, you know, he looked at the bottom line. I don't know if it was making money. I have a feeling it probably was making money, but not like the type of money that HBO is making. And he thought, we'll roll this into our big thing as a selling point. All these people will come back. And maybe he didn't even think about that. But they're getting a lot of hate on, you know, at least film Twitter. Maybe we're in a film Twitter echo chamber, but
yeah, I'm sure we are to a certain degree. I mean, I think that I have been really frustrated today with a lot of the misinformation out there. Filmstruck, there's no indication in any of this that Filmstruck was doing poorly.
Right.
Criterion just sent out their promo email announcing their programming slate for November.
Yep.
There's no indication that, and in fact, you know,
yeah,
Michael
like
2 Hutchins.
Days ago.
Yeah. I mean, they have definitely, they had bundles scheduled well beyond November. So there was no, I'm sure they were just as shocked and appalled by this as we are. And it's frustrating to me both to see misinformation out there. So people think that Filmstruck was doing poorly and that's why it closed. But it's also kind of frustrating from the perspective of like, these are people who were, had real jobs, who were doing amazing work, putting out, you know, films from up and coming directors, women directors, world cinema, things that are not available to us in any other form, and probably not getting paid very much for it. And instead of being sad that this giant corporation ruined this amazing service that they were providing to us, people are going online and saying, of course Filmstruck failed because they didn't have a PS4 app.
Well, and I think that that's always going to be the case. I mean, people have been complaining about some variation of Filmstruck since day one. I think unless they launched, that's the thing. We can't, people on the internet are never going to be 100% happy unless they launch, like, you know, they spend 5 years developing something to launch it perfectly on every device with every piece of content. And then by that point, you're going to be outpaced by the next guy. So I get it.
But I think there's a lot of misperception out there just in terms of like, this happened because AT&T bought Warner's,
Absolutely.
Not because of 100%. Anything else.
Yeah.
They saw the bottom line. They realized that in order to make it big and hit the lotto here, they needed this streaming service to work. Mm-hmm. They need to consolidate all of their resources for streaming to produce something that can go up against a company like Netflix and a company like Amazon. And that's what they're doing. And they don't care about, as they put it, a niche product.
Right, or niche. I'm going to call it niche is what I was told to how it's pronounced. But that's a, so let's
Nietzsche,
let's actually
Nietzsche.
Nietzsche. I think they are they are Zarathustra right now. So their statement was that they wanted that they saw this as a niche market, so, which it is. I saw somewhere. Of course, it was. This is you know, you're getting Seven Samurai and Ozu. You know. The person that watches Adam Sandler movies is not going to watch that. But they
I think
said,
it was called Film Niche originally when they launched it.
Well, I joked. I'm gonna kickstart Niche Struck.
We should do a T-shirt.
Yeah, but they said so. While Filmstruck has a very loyal fan base, which were included, it remains largely a niche service. We plan to take key learnings from Filmstruck to help shape future business decisions in the direct-to-consumer space and redirect this investment back into our collective portfolios. So that's business speak for saying, all right, we have a lot of money here, and we've made progress. We've developed something that works, and rather than continue in that direction for this small audience, we're going to probably take the resources, and so maybe the jobs, probably not the people in Atlanta with TCM, but maybe
the
developers.
Yeah, not the programmers, the developers. Yeah.
Right. And focus those resources. And when they say resources, it's probably not jobs, but the money. And they're going to put those into this new service, probably. They're probably thinking, all right, why are we going to have two or three? Warner Archive's gone too, right?
Well, Warner Archive got folded into Filmstruck. That happened before AT&T took over.
And they canceled something else a couple days.
It was a Korean drama streaming service that they canceled. And I think they may have canceled the animation one already.
Yeah.
They just launched last week a DC streaming service, which I don't know how much longer that's going to last. So
at least that's
I don't
not,
know if you want to buy
niche.
An annual subscription to that.
Is DC niche?
It is after Justice League.
Yeah, so all right, possible homes for the Criterion Collection. So I think, okay, one option is they do it themselves. I think that it's I don't know actually I'd like to get Arik Debbins on here to because he works for Netflix and I don't really know the economics of building a streaming platform. I think just based on following Filmstruck, it can't be easy. But yes, so maybe they make their own or you know Fandor's independent and that works pretty fine. Movie's been a while there a while, or maybe join up with Fandor before Filmstruck and while they were on Hulu, they did have these little featurettes on Fandor. They would kind of run maybe five movies at a time. And that went away, of course. Mubi, I don't think they've ever done anything with Mubi. And then another option is somebody people have
Well, didn't
pitched
they do the
Amazon.
auteur? They did. They hooked up with them a long time ago when Mubi was still called the Auteurs
Oh,
or something
okay.
like that.
Yeah, I
It was a
probably
while
wasn't
ago.
a subscriber then. And then the last option I can think of is people have speculated that there'll be a channel on Amazon. Of course, so that's for the library. Now, what's unfortunate and really sad is all these people, all this TLC that went into creating Filmstruck have created an abundance of content over the last couple of years, and I do feel for them that their work is going away, and I hope even you know the adventures in movie going, the film art, observations in film art. I hope that there's a
Geez.
destination for those and that they continue.
Or I mean, hopefully those are owned by Criterion and not by Filmstruck. And if that's the case, maybe they can put them up on YouTube or Vimeo, or they can port them over to whatever they have. I mean, I think the best option for them is a channel on Amazon. It seems like if Cohen Media can put who has like eight movies can put something like that together, it wouldn't be hard for Criterion to do something like that, and it would be, I think, the least painful approach to it. But I will say I don't know if it's possible to subscribe to something like that without the Prime membership, which would make it more significantly more expensive. So that might
Well,
be something that
that's
they would factor into it.
$100 per year, so that's what it was already,
It's
plus whatever,
130.
130 for
Yeah,
Prime.
they raised the price.
Okay. I guess I've just had it for so long, I don't even notice. But and then yeah, maybe I don't think they could charge $10 for the
No,
channel.
I think it would probably be five or six, like they
Yeah.
do as the supplement for the Filmstruck service.
I think that makes sense. Of course, Amazon is also a corporation, and I didn't look at their market cap, but they're probably larger than AT&T right now. Amazon is doing amazing business, and Amazon actually has a pretty good brand, and I think they're pretty good business savvy. I mean, they've knocked a lot of businesses out the door. You can hate them all you want. They might knock Barnes and Noble out, which is another can impact the physical media a little bit. So, well. I know you've been looking through these director curations, so I one question I have is now that some people have 30 days or 34 days, so what would you suggest people not miss that you think will go away?
Well, it's all going away, right? I mean,
Right.
I think that the stuff that has the that I'm most concerned about that I'll be watching is the Criterion exclusive stuff, the stuff on the Criterion channel. I think the Warner stuff is great, and I'm going to miss it very badly. I think that probably will go somewhere else fairly soon, and you can always watch it on TCM if you have cable. I think the other labels, a lot of those have deals with Amazon or Hulu or other channels that their movies, they're non-exclusive, so they go on and off those services as they come on Filmstruck. So I'm hoping a lot of those movies pop back up on the other services that those labels have deals with. So I'm focusing on Criterion. I really have been meaning this year to get to all the Juzo Itami films that are not Tampopo and A Taxing Woman are the only two I've seen. So I'm going to try to watch all of his. He has about nine or ten. They have the complete version of his films on the Criterion channel. I recommended Narusei on Considered today because I think those movies are spectacular and are unavailable anywhere except for extremely expensive out of print UK editions. Yeah, I mean, I think the Japanese cinema is the thing that is the biggest tragedy of this, depending on how long Criterion's streaming service is dark for.
They have every
Ozu movie except for one on their streaming service, and most of them are not available on disc. So, you know, get to those. I mean, Flavor of Green Tea Over Rice is coming soon to Blu-ray, hopefully. Yeah. So, but there's tons of others. All of his two post-war melodramas are really great. All of his silence that aren't on the Eclipse discs. All of the Eclipse movies, if you are a Blu-ray only person and you just want to see them, there's so much good stuff there. All the Matarazzo melodramas.
This could breathe life into Eclipse. Maybe Criterion will look for a home for some of these, like the Atami.
I hope that they will work quickly and figure out how to do this, and not worry about building another service that will probably just fall apart anyway, honestly. I mean, I think they see the writing on the wall at this point, so.
Yeah, I think so too. I looked at my watch list, which I can still look at Filmstruck, even though I can't watch anything. So there's a lot of Oshima out there that's not on disc.
Yes, there's, boy.
In fact, Strike by Eisenstein, that's jumps out at me. Of course, The Devils too. That just came up on Filmstruck, and that's been in. Speaking of The Devil, the Warner's Vault. You know, who knows if? I mean, do you think The Devils will be on this mainstream streaming service with HBO or this niche service with all of Ozu's films? Lola, yeah, so there's a lot of, all the Fassbender. Here's Capo by Pontecorvo, so you can't get that anywhere. There's all the Czech cinema. I mean, there's
A lot of out of print Criterion discs that are only available on streaming at this point, like Lola.
Yeah, and you know, we've looked at the 100 Years of Janus films. A lot of those are out of print, but they were all on Filmstruck. Of course, there's the Olympic set is all on Filmstruck. So if you
haven't right now,
it just came out. And then a lot of people thought, well, maybe the Bergman box set will come out in Filmstruck. Now, of course, a lot of these Bergman films are already there, but you know, not the same transfers, not the same presentation. So
I mean, I've been waiting for. I didn't buy 8 Hours Don't Make a Day or Cold Water at the sale because I thought eventually they'd pop up on Filmstruck since they were Janus films. So
8 Hours a Day, buy that. That's well worth it. That's a shame because this is a great way for somebody to consume. And you know, we've talked about HiMat. You know, that's not on disc here. It's not on Filmstruck either. But I think it would have been a great destination for these long
for sure.
form miniseries. So it is a very very sad day. And this is probably the quickest episode ever because it's just a lot of anger. A lot of betrayal. Of course, I feel for people like Alicia Malone. I think she'll probably still have a career, of course, with TCM. But all the programmers and writers and so forth.
The people who did work for the Criterion Channel and the Filmstruck Channel really did amazing work. And it was better than it needed to be, honestly.
I mean,
the curation that they had, the selections that they made... It was a dream come true, I think, for any cinephile. And we'll tell our grandkids about this over our 144K discs,
or maybe just implanted in our brain. So I guess we'll be watching this. I should also say that just a little housekeeping for the episodes. I've already have an episode in the can, but. This is a, kind of an emergency topic, so we just throwing this right up. And there might be more Criterion Cast conversations about this. It might go up over the weekend or during the week. You know, there's just a lot of thoughts. And as time passes, you know, it's kind of like grief. You know, there's bargaining, acceptance.
Yeah, denial.
Denial, yeah. I think... well, we're past denial because
it is happening.
And there's
somebody did start a change.org petition. So denial is still It's still out there.
And I signed it, and of course, and I it might have been you that said, hey, this is not going to do anything.
No, I didn't want to rain on anybody's parade. You do you. If that makes you feel better, that's great. And you know what? Hey, maybe if enough people sign that, some other person will look at that and say, hey, there is actually a market for this. It wasn't – Filmstruck didn't fail because it didn't have a PS4 app. It was actually because of this bullshit AT&T garbage that thinks that they can – buy that second yacht.
And that's another point. So niche markets can find, or niche content or media can find an audience. So MST3K is a great example. You know, nobody would put them on TV and until they did a Kickstarter. So I'm not saying the Criterion is going to do a Kickstarter, but I think there are avenues. If there are people willing to fork over money. I mean, I think we would all give $10, $15 a month for something that's substantial like this again. So hopefully something comes of it. It'll be a while just because this nobody expected it. Nobody saw this coming, Filmstruck notwithstanding. So, all right, well, next we'll have, we're going to get to the January releases. So the next episode won't have any idea that this happened. But then the episode after that, which we're going to have a director actually talking about some stuff, we'll get her, it's a female director, we'll get her opinion. So, all right, Matt, any parting thoughts besides fuck you, AT&T?
If there is anybody listening from Filmstruck or Criterion to this podcast, thank you. It was great.
That's So everybody involved, really great effort. 2 years, you know, sure, it didn't come out on PS4. I don't care.
I watched Filmstruck almost every day that it existed.
It was a tremendous service, and even though I hadn't watched it in a few months, just seeing the curations, the clever programming they did, I mean, it was definitely something that, the way I put it today, is it created broke new ground with streaming media and what they could do and how you could kind of develop a service with personal taste. So yes, Filmstruck should be proud of themselves for breaking this ground, and hopefully something else will come from its ashes. I just wouldn't expect it from AT&T. All right. Good night, Matt.
Good night.